It is the divine method to reveal infinite glory and power through the instrumentality of finite mortal man. He takes pleasure in using the most insignificant material and the most insignificant instrumentality in order to magnify the grandeur, the glory, the beauty of his own person and his redemptive work. The passage that we are to concentrate upon this morning especially dwells upon the center of this divine purpose. And it is introduced with a statement in verse 6, "For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness." In this one statement, we have a comprehensive reference to the total aspect of the divine revelation. It has its beginning in the time where God, in his infinitude, chose to break through the darkness which kept him hidden from the knowledge of anyone in the creative act. Where it states, "In the beginning God created," and then darkness was upon the face of the earth. And God said, "Let there be light," and light penetrated the darkness. And the great transactions of God in the manifestation of his glory and power had its inception in the breakthrough of the light through the darkness. Then it includes also the marvelous manifestation of God where he penetrated the darkness of human degradation, the lost condition of mankind, and revealed himself in the light of the redemptive provision in Jesus Christ. And so in this first statement of these verses, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," we have a reference to the comprehensive manifestation of God in his divine revelation, where in his infinitude he entered the realm of the finite, where he could be comprehended, and where he could be known, and where he could be grasped. Who shined out of darkness? And from the statement of this comprehensive revelation of God, he enters into the individual, personal, subjective relationship when it says, "And he has shined into our own heart," which speaks of the divine revelation and communication of God in this infinite manifestation in its relationship to the individual, into my heart, into your heart, into our heart. He has shined into our heart. But he does not stop with a redemptive purpose. He there seeks to elaborate how in the marvelous ministry unto which all of God's people have been called through the wonderful redemption in Christ. And let us underline that we are not speaking in these days of the preacher and the deacon of the church. We are speaking of the ministry committed unto God's redeemed people, in which each individual has an equal share. The difference rests only in the assignment of responsibility, but not in the character of the ministry. So how then in this ministry he has shined into our hearts, and there we notice that this communication of God into our hearts is for a very specific purpose, that we might be the vessel through whom the wonderful glory of our God might be shown out unto the world and unto our fellow men, as he speaks of that in verse 7. In the statement, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And so we want to dwell this morning in particular on the vessels of the ministry. The ministry of God in his divine communication and manifestation began in his infinitude when total darkness existed, where he has penetrated that darkness and revealed himself in the marvelous creative act, and then in his redemptive communication, and then communicated this glory of himself unto the individual in order to reflect his glory in the world through the instrumentality of a redeemed people. And there in the center of this purpose is the vessel. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let us deal with this subject on a fourfold basis. First of all, as to the purpose of the vessel. Secondly, the dependence of the vessel. Thirdly, we want to deal especially also with the material of the vessel, and then the development or the transformation of that vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Verse 6 gives to us very distinctly the real purpose of our redemption. In babyhood, in spiritual babyhood, we answer usually that we have been redeemed in order that we may escape the horror of eternal condemnation. But you know, that is the early babyhood of the Christian life. And I'm so disturbed over the fact that so many, many people remain in that stage of the early infancy in their spiritual life for such a long time. Oh, they remain there for such a long time. For what purpose have I been redeemed? Oh, that I may escape eternal condemnation. Well, yes, that is the blessing of that redemption. But that's not the purpose of your redemption. May I differentiate between the two? That is the blessing of your redemption, but not the purpose of your redemption. The purpose of our redemption is that through us the glory of the infinite God may be demonstrated. And we go to several other passages in this conjunction. We cannot speak of verse 6 without going to the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, with which we must deal for a moment. Turn to Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. And let's deal there a little bit with the question of the purpose. As we read, for instance, in verse 4, or I think a wonderful portion for such a prayer conference would be the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, the 16th and the 17th. But we can only refer to it this morning. There we find in verse 4, "I have glorified thee on this earth." Christ speaking of the purpose of his life in incarnation. "I have glorified thee upon this earth." And then he shows how he has glorified him. "I have finished the work that thou hast given unto me. I have manifested thy name unto the people." and I have given unto them thy word, and thus I have glorified thee, the Father, upon this earth. That was the very purpose of Christ's coming, that in the redemptive provision the glory of God may be reestablished. The blessing of this redemption rests in the benefit that we can be saved. But the purpose of this redemption, in which it will find its culmination, is the glory of the infinite God manifested in such a redemption which was sufficient for the deepest fallen condition of human mankind. And there he says, and I have glorified thee upon the earth. And then go a little bit further, then go to verses 22 and 23 of the same chapter, will you? And underline that in your Bible. It's basic for you to retain that. There it says, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I have glorified thee upon this earth. And then the glory which thou gavest me, I have given unto them. And this glory shall be manifested in their oneness. And that the world, through the glory which I have from thee, and which I have given unto them, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. So there we have a wonderful process in God's communicative economy. First, God's glory communicated unto us in Christ Jesus. And then the glory of God given unto us in Christ Jesus, then transferred in its glory to the redeemed people. That the glory of God through Jesus Christ finally may be revealed in the redeemed people of God. So that in the manifestation of the glory of this our God, shown in Christ Jesus and given unto his redeemed people, the world may be attracted and the world may comprehend the marvelous glory of our God through those who have been redeemed in Christ Jesus, and in whose life now the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be shown also unto the world, that in the reflection of the glory of the indwelling Christ, the world may be attracted to the glory of God in Christ Jesus manifested in the flesh. There we have the background that we must grasp when we want to speak of the vessel of the ministry of God. My beloved, God in his divine grace was desirous to communicate himself in a way that it could be comprehended and grasped by a lost human race. And there he communicated himself in the Lord. His glory was shown in Christ Jesus. And now he says, in the glory which I have from thee, I have given unto them. And this glory shall be manifested in the marvelous oneness of God's people. And that in that glory the world may then believe that God has sent Jesus Christ and that he was the Son of God. Because his being as revealed in the life of God's redeemed exceeds every comprehension of the natural or the finite. It is infinite that God reveals himself in his glory through the redeemed people of God. There we have the purpose of the vessel that God has chosen. The purpose that through the vessel of human instrumentality the glory of God in Christ may be communicated unto a dying world. Do you want to stop this morning and ponder a moment the tremendous purpose of our redemption? That is the purpose of my redemption. And oh, how few children of God occupy themselves with the purpose of their redemption. They always remain in the babyhood and occupy themselves with the benefits of the redemption. I have a young boy. He is 9. God gave him to us at an advanced age. It was just about like a case of Abraham, where we had not hoped for any child. The other children were quite grown. And then God sent into our home a little babe. And he is now 9. And I believe it was for a special purpose. A year ago, he was eating mulberries. There were lots of mulberries low, but he had to crawl up on the very top of the tree to get the mulberries from the highest branch that could be reached. And then while he was busy eating mulberries way up there, there was one slip, and he landed straight down on the ground and fell on his stomach and on his chest. And his breath was gone. And his eyes were closed, and he picked him up and quickly rushed him to the hospital as a dead boy. Artificial respiration brought back the breathing. And after so and so many hours, brought back his consciousness. And he came back from his coma, suddenly realized that he had been gone, but that he was living again. And then as we were sitting at his bedside, mother and father, so glad that God had given us back that treasury, and suddenly the little fellow, 8 years old at that time, says, "Daddy, why didn't God keep me if I was gone already?" Well, I said, "You ask God about that and let God tell you why he didn't keep you." And then the next day when I came back to him, he says, "Daddy, I did ask God why he didn't keep me." And I said, "What did he tell you?" "He told me that he had sent me back because he wanted me to do something for him." "So did God tell you that?" "Yes." He says, "Daddy, don't you think that God sent me back because God had a purpose for me?" For the first time in the life of that youngster, there came back the question of a purpose. Will it take in your life also falling from the mulberry tree till you finally will ask God the question, "God, why do I live? Why do I live?" You live in order that God may use you as a vessel unto the manifestation of his divine glory. That is the purpose of the vessel. That is the very purpose of our existence. We are speaking so much in our day of activity and so little of character. The issue of activity today doesn't answer the need of our crucial age in which we are. It is the issue of character which will alone answer the needs of our day. That through the glory that God had given unto Christ, and the glory that Christ gave unto his own, that is to be manifested in the vessels, that the world may know that God has sent Jesus. There is the purpose of the vessel. Let me go a step further. From the purpose, we must also immediately go to the dependence of that vessel. It's only a vessel, remember. And it states there in verse 7, or rather 6, for God commended the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts, or in our hearts, not into, in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. You notice it says he has commended this light, that he has revealed the light of his divine manifestation in Christ Jesus. He has permitted us to shine not only into our heart. Notice that. It says in our heart. Through, or to give the light of the marvelous, or the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. So to shine in our heart. My beloved, there is the dependence of the vessel upon the one that uses that vessel. He must shine in our heart in order that there be any reflection from that vessel. So there is a dependence upon the continuous communication. Well, the vessel as such can only reflect some of that glory. The vessel cannot come into possession of that glory, my beloved, but can only be the reflection of that glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can illuminate that glory as the glory of Christ shines in our hearts, and then that glory reflects itself and shows forth the glory of this wonderful Christ. And my father's study, there was a cross, one of those illuminated crosses, with a phosphor mixture that they put on it, and then it absorbs the light. You have seen those, no doubt. And there was quite a big cross in my father's study, of such an illuminated cross, and he had it hanging on the opposite side of the wall, so that when the sun was shining in, would always beat upon that cross. And in the evening, when you would walk into Father's study, there would be the wonderful outline of that illuminated cross. I had received salvation. I was a boy in my teenage. And one day I was called into that study for an interview in the hours of the evening. Father had been deeply grieved with the behavior of his son. Deeply grieved. He made an appeal to the spiritual motivation of his boy, and he said, "Son, haven't you always confessed that the Lord Jesus lives in your heart?" "Yes, Daddy, I have." "Well, how does it come then that something entirely different was revealed in your life today than the character and the reflection of the Lord Jesus?" And then suddenly he pointed out to that cross. He says, "Johnny, how does it come that that cross has no light today?" And I looked at him and says, "I don't know, Daddy." "Well," he says, "I'll tell you. All day the shutters were closed. In Europe, we have lots of homes with shutters. Shutters from the outside. I think the early settlers here in America also built houses like that. We didn't have blinds from the inside. We had shutters from the outside.
And so he says, son, the shutters have been closed all day. There has been no sunshine in this room. And because there was no sunshine in this room that came in, that's why that cross has no light today. And then with his deep loving kindness, he held my two hands between his two hands. And then he said with tears in his eyes, son, your shutters have been closed today. There has been no light that has come in. And that's why you had no light that could shine. I have received many spankings in my childhood. I had more than my other five brothers and sisters together. I think if we could multiply that two times or three times and four times, and I would still always be in the black as far as the occasions of my punishment were concerned, because I was the grief of my beloved parents. All these thinkings I have long forgotten, but that lesson of the cross will always remain with me. Son, the shutters were closed. Have the shutters been closed in a present day Christianity that we are seeking to preach a message without the reflection of the glorious character and beauty of the wonderful Christ? All the vocabulary of the message can be memorized. And we again and again repeat the contents of that message. But my beloved, the contents of that message does not have the power of communication, except it is reflected from the character of the glory of an indwelling Christ. What our day and age needs is Christ-like men and women. Oh, don't give us more preaching. Give us Christ-like men and women from whose life there is a reflection of the glory and the beauty of the wonderful Christ. And the light, the glorious light of Jesus Christ has shined in our hearts. Oh, many people have tried to come into a position of greater Christ-likeness through all kind of self-effort. Oh, determinations they were going to be more Christ-like. Last year when I taught a special course in the college, I have been teaching a course one semester per year in order to refresh myself in my relationship with college people. And then suddenly a young woman came and she says, Mr. Tate, I've read Sheldon's book again and again. You know Sheldon's book on the imitation, not the imitation of Christ. What does it say? In His Steps, thank you. Sheldon's book, In His Steps. And she says, I've tried and tried to live up and imitate Christ. But she says, I have tried it for so long, it doesn't help. Yes, my beloved, Sheldon's book, In His Steps, is wonderful as far as it goes. It provides a pattern where we can seek to follow in our human weakness, but it does not accomplish the wonderful transformation and communication which will result in a Christ-like character. That can be accomplished only to the degree as we expose ourselves to the wonderful rays in the communion with the Lord Jesus Christ And that communion, that intercommunion of our life with Him transmits into our life more and more of His very character, that we are able then to reflect something of His glory and His beauty. It's not in good resolutions, my beloved. It's in communion. It's not in knowledge of all the teachings concerning Christ. It's in the communion with Christ that this Christ-like life is able to reflect itself from our life. The glory of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has shined in our hearts. And that brings about Christ-likeness. Some years ago, when I was preaching in Los Angeles in the evening, and I decided to drive home 200 miles to Reedley after the service. As it came past midnight, I was trying to buck traffic that was so heavy on 99 Highway and the skyline. And then finally I came behind a bus, and I couldn't pass that bus. And have you ever driven behind a big bus when you are on the highway that seals up your complete vision and you have to stay behind that monster and you just can't pass it? And I was irritated. I was seriously irritated. Several times I tried to do it, and that moment and together a car would come opposite direction. Tried it again and again, and I was pulling my horn and I was blinking my eyes. I wanted to finally make that bus driver behave. But he seemingly was unconcerned about me. And the while being irritated, I suddenly was attracted by the wonderful reflection that was behind that bus. And I looked at it and began to look at it. I looked, well, those are not taillights. It's something else. And the reflection was so beautiful. And I became so absorbed watching that reflection that I suddenly became content to follow the bus. And I followed it, and suddenly that bus stopped. And I stopped behind that bus, and I got out and I asked the man, is there any trouble? Well, he says, no, we are at the depot. And I realized he had gone into the depot in Bakersfield. And I stopped behind him, still looking at the reflection. I was a little bit embarrassed that I had lost my orientation, but it wasn't all. I said, say, bus driver, what kind of reflection do you have behind the bus? Well, he says, did you notice that? I said, yeah. He says, we made that on for special safety for night driving. These are some phosphor sticks that we have put across the bus. And then he says, when we have these sunny days, that phosphor in the back just makes the most beautiful clay of reflection. They had put it on in various strengths, you know, on that surface. And then one part reflects more distinct and the other a little bit less, and it gives a beautiful clay of reflection. You know, I was felt sorry that I have to leave the bus and drive in front of it. Because I lost the attraction of the reflection. I didn't get sleepy the rest of the way from Bakersfield to Reedley, another 120 miles anymore. I was reminded of this passage. All the world today looks for an answer to its inward confusion, though. And the only answer that the world is able to receive is in the reflection of the wonderful Christ concerning whom they have heard so much talk, but of whom they have seen so very little. The dependence of the vessel. My dear brother and sister, we cannot get by this morning without answering our relationship to this tremendous purpose and our relationship to this dependence of being continually exposed to the inward working of the marvelous beauty and glory of Christ upon our lives, and the tender comfort, the reflection of the glory of God in Jesus Christ as He shines in our hearts. And the material of the vessel is an earthen vessel. An earthen vessel. Did you notice that God has chosen the most insignificant vessel, the most inexpensive material to manifest His glory? An earthen vessel. When we read 2 Timothy chapter 2, especially verses 20 and 21, there the scripture speaks of the various vessels in the household of God. He says, but in a household of God, there are various vessels. Vessels to honor and to dishonor. And then he speaks of the vessels to honor as the vessels of gold and of silver. And of the vessels of dishonor as the vessels of wood and of earth. Earthen vessels and wooden vessels. So the earthen vessels in that classification comes into the vessels of dishonor. And that vessel God has chosen to reflect His glory. And when I come to this marvelous grace of God, my beloved people, then I stand amazed before God. How I ever would choose a vessel like this. Oh, I'm so happy that people don't know my past. There is nothing glorious in the past. The black sheep of a family. A black sheep of a family. Meant to control me, God smote me in my childhood with an incurable disease. Every limb in my body was twitching. I couldn't walk straight. I was simply the ridicule of the village in which I lived. And still, the whole village feared that boy, that preacher's boy. And then God healed. And then in the university, I became a skeptic when I was in Western Europe. I was in skepticism. I didn't believe. I didn't know whether we could believe in anything that was God. After I had all that life from my background. Then God saved me from skepticism. I can't tell my life story without bowing in deep faith. And still God would save me. And God would set me aside that I should be one of the vessels. The most insignificant vessel, a vessel of earth. An earthen vessel. but he desires to choose an earthen vessel, that in that he may magnify the extent of his grace and glory. So if Satan has kept you constantly under the thumb, in the consciousness of your unworthiness and your incapacities and your weaknesses and all of that that he constantly uses like a barrage against us, lift up your discouraged spirit in your mind today and say, God is willing to use an earthen vessel. So there is nothing that we have to glory in. He did not choose the silver. He did not choose the gold. He did not choose the world. But he chose the earthen vessel. But according to the passage to which I reserved in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there is an advancement that comes in the transforming influence of the usage of these vessels in the household of God. That's a wonderful thing. In the usage of this vessel, as God magnifies his glory in the earthen vessel, there comes a process of transformation. And he speaks there of golden and of silver and of wooden and of earthen vessels. Well, we have been speaking about the earthen vessel. The earthen vessel that is so prone to constantly a crack at the smallest pressure that you put upon it. Have you ever seen in the household of God these cracked pots that lie around? A little nick and they crack and they lie around. All these cracked pots and crocks, that God may redeem us of them. I hope in your great staff here, back to the Bible, you have none of these earthen vessels. Now don't understand me, we are speaking about the process of transformation. God chooses the earthen vessel. But go unto us if you remain in that stage. In the use there is a transformation. If you are still an earthen vessel that constantly always cracks and cracks and then bump together, and you work with your co-secretary at the next desk, she always irritates you and you always are at tension. You earthen pot. Always has to be tied with string to hold you together. But then the next stage is wooden vessels. You know, when it comes to wooden vessels, I never can forget the old well at my grandpa's. I always had to pull up water there because I had a mother that was for a number of years blind, and I was such a wild fellow that couldn't be controlled, so my grandpa took control of me. And to keep me busy, I had to always fill a big tank, water tank, a stock tank with water. And he had a dinky, small wooden pail on that well with a long rope and one of these wheels there that you have to pull it up, you know. And then it would let that down, and then it pull it up, and that always would leak, and then the water would go out. And then till I finally had it up, it was not even half full. And then I would get that old bucket, and I would take some rods and put them into all these cracks. Every time I forgot to put it down into the water, but left it in the sun, that would leak worse. You have forgotten the wooden vessels. You don't know them anymore. Today you have only stainless steel. I wish we would come back to the lesson of wooden vessels. Oh, there are such leaky people in the kingdom of God. Little bit sunshine and they leak all together. Then they have a great experience of blessing in a revival or in a Bible conference, and oh, then they bubble over and they testify of the blessings of God. and then to come into the heat of the sun, and a few hours they are dried out, and then they leak at every part of their lives. What in reference to dishonor? God chooses earthen vessels, but in the process of his divine manifestation, he doesn't expect us to remain in earthen vessels. Through the marvelous use of God, he wants to accomplish in us a wonderful transformation, that we shall become vessels of honor, of silver and of gold. A vessel of silver, of gold. Silver still tarnishes, you know. You have to constantly wipe that silver. I thought some years ago I was bringing such a wonderful present to my wife, and bringing to her some silver knickknacks. I was abroad and I could buy them so cheap, and I brought some silver knickknacks for her. You know, women always want to have something here and there and there. So I thought I was really going to do it this time. And again I find that she frequently wraps them up and he puts them away. And here and there, to satisfy me, not to embarrass me, she puts them up for a while. And then I asked her, why don't you always have it? Well, she said, John, the charm is always. You have always to clean. The material is good, but the outside always needs clean. Isn't that right, Silver? They don't break anymore, no. But then comes the gold. Refined in the fire. That gold stands the test. Never tarnishes. And as God chooses an earthen vessel, and he takes that earthen vessel and uses that for the glorification, for the reflection of his divine glory, through the process of reflecting that glory, an earthen vessel can be transformed into a golden vessel. I see our time has expired. My beloved, do you realize that this day we have come to the very heart of the purpose of our redemption? Our world is confused by the voices of Christianity, because there are so many voices which speak a message without showing them the person and the wonderful image of the glorious Christ. We have in one of our fields 70 missionaries. When I recently was on that field, before my departure, a native chief was coming to me as a mission secretary, begging for more missionaries. And then suddenly he says, but if you send us missionaries, shall send us missionaries like Mama so-and-so. I'll call her Frida, a fictitious name, so you may not later think, well, that's her. Give us missionaries like Mama Frida. I was a little bit puzzled about that, and I asked the man, why do you want missionaries like Mama Frida? And he was a little bit hesitant to tell me, because there was another missionary interpreting. But as I coaxed him, finally he said, because she is so much like Jesus and so much like us. Oh, she's a jewel. Whenever we have trouble at one of our stations among missionary personnel, send that sister down. And when that sister comes down to that station, the troubles, they dissolve just so gradually, so quietly. It is the impact of a Christ-like person that dissolves all tension and problems.
The message of Back to the Bible broadcast encircles the globe. But the impact of that message is determined from the degree of the Christ-likeness of those through whose channel this word is being brought unto the world. And my beloved, we better stop before that fact this morning. Vessels in the ministry of God. And this morning as we go to prayer, we want to stop before God and we want Him to tell us, Lord, where in what category do I belong? In what category do you belong? Be very honest in that evaluation. Don't claim the position of the golden vessel until you're sure. The strange thing is that usually the golden vessels do not know that they are of gold. They are not conscious themselves of the precious material into which they have been transformed in giving themselves to this constant intercommunication with Jesus Christ the Lord. But our ministry and our influence is dependent on the character of the vessel. May God meet each one of us on this vital issue of being a vessel in the great household of God. Shall we bow in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are in thy presence this morning. We do not find it difficult to confess before thee that we are but earthen vessels, because the Holy Spirit so deeply has convicted us of the truth that we are but earthen vessels, but thou hast chosen to use the earthen vessel to magnify the glory of God in Jesus Christ through such earthen vessels. We want to ask thy forgiveness where we have limited thee in the manifestation of this glory. And we would wish to ask thee that thou mayest help us, that through our lives there may come the transformation from the level of the earthen to the silver and to the gold. Make also the staff of the Back to the Bible broadcast this worldwide ministry. Oh, let it be a company of golden vessels through whom the glory of thy beauty can be reflected unto the end of the earth. And thou knowest my own personal needs. I have not preached to the people, thou hast spoken to my own heart. Complete thy work in grace, of grace in each one of us, for thy mercy's sake. Amen.